This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
All right, let's pray, pray, pray. Thanks for joining me. And do me a favor, too. If you enjoy this time of prayer, and if you recognize, like I do, the power of this prayer and of our united prayer together, then please just tell one other person about it. Let's build our spiritual family here. Lots of good news happening, and God is so merciful. The final shipment of my books have gone out. I want to let everybody know, and maybe tomorrow or later in the week, I'll talk to you a little bit more about some of the feedback that we're getting from it. But I know a lot of emails still coming in. Drew, I didn't get my book. Please be patient. I just got an email. I know. I've been saying that for a long time, too. So you will get it if you signed up for it. You will get it, okay? I promise you that. And I'm grateful for everyone who had it. Please share it with others. Let's spread the message of mercy, all right? I received an email from a lady today. She said, Drew, on Divine Mercy Sunday, I said over 25 chaplets for every intention I could think of. That's an unbelievable accomplishment. I prayed a novena of chaplets on that day. I prayed 9 chaplets of Divine Mercy on the Feast of Mercy, because it was on that day that the Lord said the floodgates of His mercy would be open. That's an extraordinarily powerful, grace-filled day. So whatever she prayed for, I am sure is going to be answered. She prayed until I could literally pray no more. One of the intentions was for a coworker who was in a financial setback and consequently also has non-existent credit. She could not find anyone to rent to her. She was living in a hotel room with her 2 adult daughters and dog for 2 years. So at the end of April 2021, after I had prayed those chaplets, she found a place which is 4 bedrooms, 2 baths with a big backyard for the dog. The rent is more than reasonable. It's a rent to own, so she will be building credit and equity. And here's another strange twist. The house was built by our boss's grandfather, and she actually lived there as a child. Our boss didn't know anything about this until my coworker gave her new address. Praise God, this person says, from whom all blessings flow. Amen to that. God has a way of surprising us, doesn't he? Of resolving problems, working these situations out. Another person wrote, hey, I've been praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet for many years through Relevant Radio. My faith has quadrupled because of Relevant Radio and you. Thank you. You may not remember, but since 2016, I've sent you a request, or called Relevant Radio requesting for my niece, Jean. She was born with trisomy 18. It's a condition in which some doctors refer as incompatible with life, a horrible reference. But when my sister-in-law was pregnant, the doctors insisted she get an abortion. Some even told her that she was selfish to bring the child who will not survive or live in misery. My sister-in-law and brother did not get the abortion. The doctors told them the baby would possibly not even survive pregnancy. Well, she did. Then the doctors told them the baby would not survive beyond 24 hours. Well, once again, she did. The doctors then told them she would not survive beyond a week. You guessed it, she did. Today, the baby is 4 years old. She's doing well. And Drew, she is our living miracle. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for introducing us to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Please continue to pray for Jean Cristobal, and we will. We'll just certainly do that. I love those type of prayers. God can do anything. I say it to you all the time. I've got one quick intention, and then I want to welcome you, and you can join me as well. There's a young woman who is praying for her passport. She's having a passport issue, and her family's contacted Congress. They're working on the matter. She's leaving on a trip, I think, the end of this week. And her name is Mate, and we'll just pray for a miracle. You know, even though the door seems shut and the situation seems impossible, with God, all things are possible. Through prayer, you can find ways out of situations that have no way out. So let's pray with faith for those impossible situations. I'm joined today by the Chief Financial Officer here at Relevant Radio. Amy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Anything you want to pray for or lift up as we begin the chapel?
Yes, I'd like to pray for all the people that are moving this summer. There's so many different things going on, and I'd like to pray for them and their families.
All right, great prayers. Let's do that right now. Let's pray for you, and Let's pray for all of the intentions that we all have in our heart, and let's turn to our merciful Savior. Let's do it with trust. Let's do it with confidence. Let's do it with peace. Let's do it with faith. And let's know that God hears these prayers, and he has a way of resolving things, really to our surprise, better than any way we could think of. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today. It comes from Jackie. She's listening in Indiana. Jackie, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you. God bless you all so much. I am calling for my Uncle Ralph, who is down in Florida. He is currently in the ER with a really bad heart attack. So I'm praying for complete healing, but of course, Lord Jesus, your will, right? God's will always, yeah. Not mine. Yeah. I know the beauty and the gift of suffering. I know it's painful, but it is glorious in the end. And no matter what happens, Lord, I trust you, but I am begging for Aunt Mary's sake, yeah, for complete healing over Uncle Ralph. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. What a beautiful soul you are. I mean, I love that. What a saintly soul. Submit always to God's will, whatever he has intended. I love that. Lord, your will, not ours. But, Lord, you said, knock and the door shall be open. Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be answered. So, Lord, we ask right now for this miracle, for this healing. I give you this man's heart. I place it within your merciful heart. And I just ask that you heal and you allow this to be another moment in which the chaplet in this great hour of power seem to prevail. Your mercy seems to prevail. And I pray for all those right now with coronary issues, all those with, you know, need of angioplasties and those who need bypass surgery, those who are in critical care right now. Lord, I give you all those intentions, and all those who now are united with me as we turn to you and pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Martha listening in Minnesota. Hi, Martha. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Please pray. I'm reading this because I'm so nervous. Please pray for our five close relatives in Slovakia who are sick with COVID. Maria is in the hospital, very, very sick with COVID, pneumonia, and heart problems. Micah and Palko are also very sick with COVID. EDCO and MISHCO have less severe cases of COVID. Please pray for complete recovery for all five of these relatives. And may I add something additional?
Sure, absolutely.
I want to give thanks to God and to all the people that prayed for my brother a few months ago. He had gone into the hospital with a bad reaction to a pneumonia shot, and I asked people to pray that he not have a severe reaction to the COVID vaccine, and it really enhanced my belief and prayer. He had absolutely no side effects from the COVID shots at all. I did a little bit, but he did not.
All right. Well, I'm glad
so
you survived.
I want to thank God and thank everybody who prayed.
You got it, Martha. Hey, thank you for calling. Thank you for those beautiful prayers. And Lord, I lift up all those family members sick with COVID. And look, this is still a pandemic. Lord, I ask for complete and total eradication of this pandemic, for resolution and healing. I pray for those who are fighting for their lives right now, those who are sick and succumbing to COVID. I want to pray for those who care for them. Lord, I want to pray for those who've gone before us too, those who you've called home. We ask their intercession, and we, of course, pray for their souls. But I give you all of Martha's intentions, and I unite them to all who now pray with me. And Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for your mercy. And with trust, I once again pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. And of course, you can email me, drew@relevantradio.com, with those prayer intentions, especially those answered prayers. Or you can put them up on Twitter. Jake monitors our Twitter account, and he takes many of the intentions and gets them on air now. So if you want to do that, it's @DrewMariani Show. And Jake, what's coming in?
A really important intention here. I'm going to leave him anonymous, but he said, hey, can you please pray for me in regards to my mental health? He said, I've had an angry, profanity-filled outburst against some people who were in front of my home yesterday, and today I left work because I was really mad over something. So, you know, let's pray for people struggling with anger issues, with any sort of mental illness, people who just need the peace of God in their lives in a special way today. Francisco is asking that we pray for his daughter Mariah, who lives alone in San Diego and has had someone stalking her where she lives. She lives 7 hours away from her family, so that's a really serious situation that we need to pray about. And we're also praying for a really holy priest that I know personally, truly one of the holiest priests I know, Father Parker. He has faced some serious injustice lately, and that's led him to some financial strife. So we really need to pray for him and for all holy priests today.
All right. We'll pray for, our priests, our bishops, and our cardinals. I'm going to pray for Bishop Papraki and our nation's bishops, for our country. We lift up all those intentions that Jake has just brought in as well. And Lord, I pray for those, especially with anger issues, especially where that is evident in relationships and in the workplace. We'll go to RJ, bring him in on this decade as well. Let him bring his intentions to the table. Hi, RJ.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
I wanted to pray for my brother who died on Friday. His name is Jerome, and he was a devout Christian, falling away from the Catholic Church, but became a Protestant. Married 40 years, 3 children, an honorable Army veteran from the Vietnam era. He was a faithful brother to me, and may he rest in peace, and also for the repose of the souls of all our veterans.
Yeah. Great prayers. Hey, RJ, I'm sorry for your loss. I mean, losing a brother has got to be a difficult thing, but we'll pray for him, and I'm glad you got through it because, you know, I write about this in my book and what the Lord told St. Faustina about praying the chaplet, especially for those souls who may not have been close to God. You know, he told St. Faustina that by virtue of this prayer, I mean, the salvation of certain souls may depend on it. And God's outside of time. We can certainly pray for our loved ones who have been taken from us by sickness or tragedy or accident or unexpectedly. Those who we might worry about from a very natural and temporal perspective for their souls. But God is so merciful. And this prayer, I know, moves the heart of God. So I want to pray for those now dying. I want to pray for the hour of your death and mine. I want to pray for all these intentions that RJ just brought forward. And Lord, I unite him to all of your children here. And spiritually, we come before you and we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Modesto, California. Caroline, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew, Mr. Mariani. Hi. I'm just calling quickly through a couple of things. One, I have some scans done last week for cancer that I had about five. I just turned 5 years, but he's just double-checking. So okay. I just want to pray in the tablet. And last year, around this time, I had called in. I couldn't even talk because I was, my ex-husband, we're divorced civilly, but not through the church, of course, but he was in the hospital and he died in the hospital with COVID because he's a diabetic. He was really, really sick. And I remember I called in begging for mercy and for God. And I prayed the chaplet with my children. I've gotten them so involved and they were away from the church, and he came home, and he's doing well.
Oh, praise
and
God.
I just have not had the, you know, because I take care of my caretaker to my parents. My mother has dementia, and my father can't walk very well. So I don't know how I do it mentally, but I do know because it's the Lord. It's God, and it's you, and it's relevant, and I love you all. And I got your book, and I read it in
great.
One day. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
But anyway, I don't want to take up too much time. I just wanted to say if I could, I have the appointment next week on the phone for my results, and I'm just hoping that they're good.
Well, we're going to pray for that. Carolyn, we're going to pray for that. Thank you for your email. Thanks for your kind words, too. Anyway, as you're talking, I'm thinking what the Lord told St. Faustina when he said, encourage souls with whom you come in contact with to trust in my mercy. I love these souls. I love souls that have complete confidence in me, the Lord told her. I'll do everything for them. So let's have a confident prayer. Let's have a confident spirit. Let's give the Lord our heart. Lord, we place our complete confidence in your mercy. So we pray for all these intentions that have been voiced, all those that we personally have. We trust in you as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy. Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to California next. Anita, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Drew, for taking my call and for your wonderful Divine Mercy book. I'm enjoying it so much.
Thank you.
I'm calling. Welcome. I'm asking for prayers for my youngest brother, Tim, who was recently diagnosed with prostate cancer. And I'm praying that God's will be done, and I'm hoping for a miracle.
All right. Well, let's pray for that, and thank God for medicine, too, because there's a lot of ways to treat prostate. But Anita, let's pray. We'll pray for real healing. And Lord, look, we pray for miracles always. We ask for your divine touch, complete healing for all those battling cancer and its many forms and its manifestations. I want to pray for those going through treatment like chemo and radiation, immunotherapies. I want to pray for the physicians who are treating them. But I also just pray, Lord, for in Thanksgiving for the gift of medicine. And I know so often you use the natural to bring about these healings, and we're grateful for that. And whatever way you want to bring healing to Anita's brother, we thank you for that now as we pray, or we just give you Tim. We entrust him to you, whatever you call him to. But I pray also for all those on hold, all those who have written to me, and all those who are now crying out to you. Heavenly Father, read our hearts. In your mercy, answer us as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Tweet us prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
No hype, just hope. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. You know, it's such a powerful time of prayer. I love the chaplet so much. I'm so grateful for being able to pray with you. And it is an extraordinary prayer in which we are seeing unbelievable miracles unfold. And I really invite you to tell others about the chaplet and to pray. I mean, we live in a time right now where it's sometimes hard to, I don't know, to believe that God would heal us, right? Or God would reverse our situation or bring about a miracle. Now, during Christ's earthly ministry, the Lord touched, he transformed countless lives. His miracles were documented. They were eyewitnessed. I mean, the four Gospels record 37 miracles of Jesus. And Mark's Gospel recording the most. Father Rocky often says that the Gospel of Mark is known for its MMP, and I'm thinking, what's MMP? Most miracles per page is what he says. So I like that. You know, it's true. 37 miracles. And those, you know, those recount everything from, you know, the multiplication of food to raising people from the dead. And I thought today we could talk a little bit about miracles. I know it's hard, right? It's hard. It's hard to think that God can still do that. That was something that happened 2,000 years ago. It'll never happen in my own life. But I'll tell you what. You take a look at Eucharistic miracles. Take a look at the incorruptibles, right? Take a look at the statues that weep. Take a look at the healings that unfold. God is alive and vibrant today, and miracles are continuing to happen. I've seen them personally. I can testify to them. I've seen food multiply. I've seen statues cry. I've been present during Eucharistic miracles. God in his mercy has permitted me to see these, so I can speak with authority, with conviction, with truth to you that, yes, God is the author of all the laws of nature. He's above those laws, and he can suspend them if he wants, and that's what we see when these miracles take place. You know, and as a Catholic, we're steeped in miracles, right? You know we're steeped in. I mean, think about the Eucharist, right? Think about that. That's bread and wine. And every Sunday a miracle takes place, right? We have this beautiful gift of transubstantiation where bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ. You receive Jesus truly present. Talk about Christ turning water to wine. Imagine turning wine into his precious blood. And that's not the only miracle we have. You know, the miracles go on and on. God has always intervened in your life, in humanity. It's been that way since creation because he loves us, right? There are times when he does it, I think, sometimes in a especially noticeable way. If you think back, remember in the Old Testament, some very dramatic ways, like when he sent fire down to the altar of Elijah, you know, that he'd built and, you know, that consumed not just the cut up bull, but also the rocks and the water. Elijah tossed all over the offering. How about Lazarus being raised from the dead, right? Those noticeable interventions still happen today. I want you to be aware of that, and miracles can take place in your life. I'm joined today by a man who wrote a book that I think you might find interesting, might find a blessing, might help you to have a deeper understanding of this issue. It's called The Catholic Guide to Miracles, Separating the Authentic from the Counterfeit. And this is really important because, you know, I did a documentary on weeping statues, very legitimate phenomena. And yet there are many frauds. The same thing with Eucharistic miracles. There can be some scientific explanations behind this. Faith healing. There's a lot of fraudsters out there, right? There's a lot of charlatans out there. So this book, I think you will love. Adam Bly is a layman. He's been with us in the past, an expert in demonology and exorcism. We've spoken to him about that. He hails from the Diocese of Pittsburgh, and he trains priests and deacons and other laity in that field. And he has witnessed a number of miracles himself as well. I know he can testify to them as well. But check out his book. It's from Sophia Press, The Catholic Guide to Miracles. Adam joins me this afternoon. Good to have you back, Adam. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's great to be back.
Well, let me congratulate you on this book. I think it's important. You know, I think we live in an age today, in an era where people turn to science for all the answers. And a little earlier in the broadcast today, I was talking about that Pew study that revealed that two-thirds of Catholics don't believe in the true presence in the Eucharist. We live in such a mindset today where, you know, it's hard for people to believe. Yeah, bread and wine become the body and blood. God can work a miracle. Let's start maybe from the beginning. Maybe define how the Church views a miracle, how you see it, and maybe where we are today. Why so many people have trouble accepting that God can intervene in miraculous ways?
Well, you know, there's two ways to approach that. One is a simple way, and you could just say a miracle is when God does something, you know, that only God can do. That would be like a very simple way to say it. But if you wanted to really answer that question, you have to go back, as we so often do, to Thomas Aquinas, who did a really good job of parsing out the different levels of miracles. But essentially, a miracle is something that only the divine can do. It's not something that nature does on its own. It's not something that the devil or the demons can do. Only the creator can do it. And specifically, you know, the church, it depends on the type of miracle. If you want to say, like, well, how exactly do you know that? What's the threshold to say that's legit versus that's just, you know, something we don't understand yet? And it depends on the type you're talking about. And so if the main one the church deals with is healings, and that's because healings are used to validate saints as the primary type of miracle they look for. And so they've developed a very specific criteria for that. So, basically it's an extraordinary action that only God can do. It's not something we control. It's something that God does for his own reasons, for the betterment of us and for some good outcome. But it is certainly not a day-to-day thing, a day-to-day part of reality.
So let's talk about miracles. Like, look, I've seen statues weep. I was present when I saw food multiply. I mean, inexplicably. I've been in the jungles when the Virgin Mary has appeared. I mean, I've been present for apparitions. I've seen Eucharistic miracles. I know that God exists, and I've seen these phenomena. I know you have as well, but let's talk about why God allows these things to take place. I mean, why these visible manifestations of his love and his mercy? And then how does the church evaluate these? Because, look, the church is super prudent when it comes to everything from approving an apparition to a Eucharistic miracle. But I'd love your take on that.
Well, I think it's really simple. And that is that God does miracles to draw us to himself. Ultimately, they're only there for conversion. When Jesus did them, it was to display something to the people so that they would know that the hand of God was among them, that God was active among them, and it wasn't just another preacher or another prophet. When he cast that spirit out of the man in the synagogue in Capernaum and he said, "Get out," the thing that was striking to the people was he didn't say, he didn't ask Yahweh to cast him out. He didn't invoke the scripture. He simply commanded by himself. And that action is what started his fame. And so he did extraordinary things. The healings, which of course got lots of attention because lots of people need healing. He did them not just to put on a show and not just to show off, but to draw people to himself. And I think that God continues to do miracles, often through the intercession of his saints, sometimes just himself as in the Eucharist, to draw us to himself. In every age, he continues to reach out to us and give us these indications that the supernatural is real, there is a spiritual reality that we're living in, and the goal of waking up to that is to say, okay, then I need to respond to that knowledge. And the response is, all right, then I need to figure out God, I need to figure out where I'm at with God, and I need to get right with God. And so I think the bottom line is they're done to draw about conversion.
So how do we discern these? And if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Adam Bly. He came out with a new book called The Catholic Guide to Miracles. And if you want to get in on the conversation, maybe you have a question, maybe you think something's a fraud or you've witnessed one yourself, the number's 888-914-9149. We'll take your questions and comments in a second. It's 888-914-9149. Here's the big issue for me when I think about these types of miracles. The discernment process, because, a weeping statue can clearly be from God or it can be fraudulent. Everything from the stigmata to these Eucharistic miracles. There'd be a scientific explanation behind some of them. But how do you discern whether or not three things here? One, they're legitimate. Two, they're being perpetrated by an individual or someone else. Or even three, they're demonic, because that's the other thing we need to discern. You might have a phenomenon like a healing that is not, based in God and it's short term, or there could be some other manifestation that is rooted in a more of a dark or demonic force. So to those three things, I mean, how do you discern whether they're from God, somebody is a fraudster, or whether they're from the evil one?
Well, there's a few levels to that. I would say the first one is what Jesus said, and that is to judge things by their fruits. And so In contrary to the internet age and the social media age, we need to take a breath and slow down when somebody's claiming something extraordinary is happening, as opposed to get into a breathless huff over it and run off and draw conclusions and say the sky is falling or whatever. we need to take a breath and slow down. And that is because the fruits will often reveal what's going on. And I think that's partly why the church is slow to respond to these things, because the church is waiting and watching. And time will often reveal the truth of these things. So by the fruits, I mean, does it bring about conversion? Does it bring about peace? Does it bring about simplicity? You know, if you look at the Valid Marian apparitions, she's always pointing back to her son. She's always saying, pray, repent, turn to Jesus, draw closer to my son. There's a simplicity to that, and there's a pointing towards conversion. In the contrary, we have many cases of individuals purporting to have apparitions that are private to them with strange or novel teachings that draw us into a new theology or a new dogma even, that these kind of small splinter groups will form almost like a cult around a person and their special message. It draws people away from the magisterial teaching of the church, which is a careful, prudent reflection on scripture over 2,000 years, and draws them into, well, all that's wrong, the 2,000 years of work and those thousands upon thousands of people that dedicated their lives. Well, this individual over here, they suddenly have the new revelation, and this is the truth. And then that causes division in the person, because deep down they realize, I'm separated from the church, I'm in this splinter group, this is odd, some of these beliefs are strange, it's causing a little bit of confusion, maybe a little bit of distress. And then over time, they inevitably spin out and blow apart, you know, in some way, figuratively, you know, fall apart. And so if you wait a while, you'll see it through the fruits. I would say that's the first thing is, does it draw me to God? Does it give me peace? And then over time, how does it affect my life? That would be the main way to discern it. And I would say in terms of charlatans, the main thing I think is the oldest simple human thing, and that is follow the money. You know, if the person or the institution is looking to take your money or your assets, that's a problem, because miracles come from God and God doesn't need a paycheck. You know, and this is in scripture, you know, Jesus says, don't take any money with you. Don't worry about money or food. Freely have you been given, freely shall you give, as opposed to asking people to basically pay for miracles. So that's a big red flag. And then finally, you mentioned about the demonic, and one critical thing to bring up is that the demons and the devil cannot do healings. They are not the creator. They're unable to create life, and healing is basically not a creating life out of nothing, but it's bringing about greater life, you know, greater health, bringing about tissues coming together, disease moving away, vibrancy. The devil can't do that. All he can do is mask discomfort temporarily to make you think you've been healed, or he can take away an affliction that he's causing and make it seem like a healing. But most often it's just a temporary masking of things. So it's basically a trick.
Yeah.
So those would be kind of my very brief answers to those three.
No, I love that. I understand. You talked in your book about a person is being investigated for possibly having the stigmata, the wounds of Christ. And I'm thinking, well, how do you fake that? You know, I know P.O. was accused of somehow perpetrating that fraud, mm-hmm. the great Italian stigmatic who bore the wounds of Christ, lost a pint of blood a day. I mean, that was clearly a miracle. I knew a mystic in South America who bore the wounds of Christ. You'd only get them on Good Friday. When during Holy Week, they'd begin to bruise her feet and her hands and her side, and they would erupt in this bloody profusion, mm-hmm. and she, her cause is now open. But discerning that type of stuff is hard. I would think that would either be demonic or that would be from God. Maybe share the story on that, because that's a pretty dramatic manifestation, and one that if you see somebody bearing the wounds of Christ, you know, you almost tend to believe that it's legitimate.
Well, yeah, you want to be real careful about that. Now, the church generally does not make statements on stigmata in terms of, you know, making a judgment and saying this was real or was not real. There's an implied statement, for instance, when somebody becomes a saint like Padre Pio, there's kind of an implied statement that, okay, all this was valid, right? But the church generally doesn't directly address that. Now, there are documents in the church from over the centuries of looking into these things that list what are the typical signs of valid stigmata, such things as the wound smelling of flowers. If there's blood, the blood smelling of flowers strongly. that the person re-experiences the passion story Thursday and Friday, and that the stigmata is generally active on Friday. You know, that there's a tendency to hide it and not want attention, and to keep this hidden from the world. There's also, interestingly, a mention of a special dominion over nature, or an ability to pray and influence nature that seems to come from this closeness with Jesus, perhaps. So there's a few things that the church has pointed out to look for in terms of a case being fitting the typical pattern that they've seen with saints over the centuries. But again, I would say it's something that has to be done very slowly over time. And if you witness it yourself, it's compelling. You know, if you see wounds appear on somebody in front of you and they've not been out of your sight to go fake it, that's compelling. But I would caution that in the psychological literature, particularly in the 60s, there was a number of experiments with hypnosis where they were trying to ascertain how far hypnosis could affect the body. Yeah. And by the way, the church says we should not engage in hypnosis. Catholics should not engage in it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's in Jesus Christ, the Bearer of the Water of Life, a Vatican document. You can look up on the online. But anyway, in the 60s, before a lot of the ethic rules came out on limiting human subject studies, they had tested hypnosis to see if wounds could open on the body through hypnotic suggestion. And they found that very mild kind of welts and red raised and very minimal capillary bleeding could actually be induced through hypnosis.
Well, I'll tell you, hold the thought. We can pick it up on that when we return. Our number here, if you want to get in, 888-914-9149. Speaking with Adam Bly, has a new book out. You might want to check it out, The Catholic Guide to Miracles. And he looks at everything in this. Separating both the authentic from the counterfeit might be a great read for you. Definitely good for the spiritual library. I'll be back with more right into this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Get the facts now. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, it's great to hang out with you. Great to look at life through the eyes of our faith. And we live in really, I think, extraordinary times. We do. I mean, God in his great mercy sent the Mother of God to every habitable continent. There have been reported apparitions all over the planet with an urgent call to draw us back. There are, even in our own day and age, many reported Eucharistic miracles. When Pope Francis was Cardinal Bergoglio in Argentina, he had one investigated in his own diocese. I know there have been many of them all over the place. A friend of mine is a priest who has witnessed this. My guest today, Adam Bly, also had a brush with these Eucharistic miracles, and maybe I can get him to talk a little bit about that as well. If you want to join us, we'll try to get your calls on the air, 888-914-9149. Adam Bly is an author, and he wrote a book called The Catholic Guide to Miracles, Separating the Authentic from the Counterfeit. And I think it's such a great read. I remember hearing a story, Adam, one time, and I'm just pulling this from the dusty archives of my mind, of a nun who supposedly had preternatural gifts. I mean, she, you know, bore the wounds of Christ. She had the stigmata. I don't know whether she could levitate, prophesy. She did these different things. And many people thought she was legitimate. But on her deathbed, she confessed that, you know, that was not, it was all a fraud. I think she had a demonic spirit or something in her. So, you know, we have to be ultra conservative and prudent when it comes to these same things. But at the same time, I don't want to close the door on the miraculous, because I do think I think God is really reaching out to us, as you pointed out, in a special way, to draw us closer to him, let us know that he does exist and that he's an intimate part of our life here. The Eucharistic miracles, I know you don't want any attention focused on you. I talk about some of the things I've encountered over the years as a former documentarian, just because I think it'll help build the faith of others. Not that it will shine a light on me, because I am the biggest sinner amongst us. Believe me, I need prayer. But God has chosen me to experience this so I can share it with others. I know you had an experience when you were in the Holy Land. Why don't you share that quickly, then we'll grab a couple calls.
Yeah, so it was towards the end of a week-long pilgrimage that was a very, very prayerful pilgrimage at many of the, you know, the holy sites and daily mass and what seemed like hundreds of rosaries and just lots of other prayer. It was towards the end on the Mount of Transfiguration, Mount Tabor, had a mass up there in the Moses Chapel, the side chapel for Moses. And, so when I received communion, you know, everything seemed normal. Saw the host receive communion. But what I felt was not a small round host at all. It was felt pliable, large, oddly shaped, soft, didn't taste like anything. And as fast as a snap of fingers, my mouth was filled with fluid such that I thought it was going to spray out, but it didn't. And I didn't want to distract other people from receiving communion and, you know, draw attention to it. And so I just received communion and asked the priest about it the next day if there was anything odd about the hosts, if they were soft or unusual. And he said, no, they were just typical hosts. Looking back on it, it's certainly nothing about me or holiness, because I agree with you. We're all sinners. God's using me in spite of my broken nature. But looking back on it, I think Jesus was giving me that experience as kind of a signpost in my life that would be there for the rest of my life so that I would never forget the reality of the Eucharist.
Hey, let me just validate your experience. And I share this story a lot on the air, and I'll just give the thumbnail of this. I had a friend who, you know, loved to get high all the time and do drugs and party and sleep with girls. And he was an executive at a company, made a lot of money, and was watching television one night and saw a Protestant preacher who spoke to him through the TV. I mean, it was the Holy Spirit at work, telling him to get rid of the drugs. And he ended up doing that. He ended up being really convinced that God was talking to me, flushed these things down the toilet. The next morning, you know, when he woke up, he thought, this is ridiculous. What the heck did I do? I must have been out of my mind that night. He gets in his car to go to the gym. It was a Sunday. But there, something was going on in his heart. The Holy Spirit was really working. So he drives past this church and he decides to pull in. Mass was beginning and he gets out of his car and he sits in the back of the pew, back of the church, goes through the entire Mass. Now he's born and raised Catholic, baptized Catholic, but had not been to Mass in years and really was probably in a state of mortal sin. But he goes up to receive the Eucharist. And when he goes up to receive the Eucharist, that's exactly what happened. And the priest said, Body of Christ. He stuck out his tongue. They put it on his tongue. He closed his mouth and he says, Drew, I swear it turned into flesh in my mouth. It was the strangest feeling. And then my mouth began to fill up with the fluid. I opened my mouth. I didn't know what to do. And the priest saw me and the priest said, swallow that. And he did. But it had such a profound impact on him. He said, I could taste blood. He says that was the fluid I could taste in my mouth. So he swallows this host and the fluid. And it brought around such a profound conversion. And he ended up going into the seminary and became a priest later. So that's the power of God to reach out to us and communicate with us in different ways. So I never heard anyone else have that story. You're only the second person I've ever heard had that encounter. So I love that, and I want to validate that for you. All right, let's go to the phones. Who is up next, guys? Robert in Austin, Texas. Robert, thanks for joining us. You're on the air with Adam Bly.
Hey, Drew. Hey, Adam. Hey. I just wonder if there's an extra responsibility that comes with being Catholic. And when we talk about miracles, I'm thinking of Jesus's admonishment towards the end of his ministry to the people of Capernaum, that he was saying that he had worked more miracles there than anywhere else. And if they had seen him in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have converted. And I know that miraculous phenomena isn't exclusive to Catholics, but because this activity is so prevalent in the Catholic Church with the Eucharistic miracles, the weeping statues, just so much phenomena on Judgment Day, that we as Catholics will be held accountable for whether these led to a deeper, more active spiritual life because we've seen so much evidence.
That's a great question, great call. Adam, I'll let you respond.
Yeah, that's a big one. I think it depends on the person you talk to about things like this related to judgment and how harshly we'll be judged. Given my bias that I spent 15 years working in the exorcism world, I'm a layman, not a priest, but I train exorcists, been at hundreds and hundreds of exorcisms. I'm acutely aware of the wages of sin and the negative possible outcomes. And so I tend to fall on the side of take things more seriously than less. And so I would say that if you've been given extraordinary graces, such as the experiences we just talked about, yeah, I think you're going to be held to a higher account. Because if you say like, well, yeah, I drifted off and I just did my own thing for a decade. If the question is, well, I showed you this and so few people had seen it, and I showed you this and I asked you to keep working for me, but you didn't, you know, it kind of, I think it's going to put us at a higher standard if we have these experiences. I think a similar thing, you know, you'll hear references to priests, that a priest will be judged more harshly in a sense because the expectations are higher having received so much grace. And I think miracles are a grace, clearly, even vicariously, just hearing about them is a grace because it draws our mind towards God. So, yeah, well, I would say I think there's a burden to it.
Amen to that. Well, Adam, first of all, thank you for your book. Thank you for your writing. I'd love to have you back. We can talk more. We only scratched the surface of this topic. The book is called The Catholic Guide to Miracles, Separating the Authentic from the Counterfeit. I'm assuming it's the best place to get it is Sophia Press or Amazon or your Catholic bookstore. Yeah. It's available everywhere?
Yes. Yep. Available everywhere. Yep.
Sounds good. Keep up your good work. We'll talk again soon, okay?
All right. God bless you and your listeners.
God bless you. That's Adam Bly, an expert in demonology and exorcism and a very gifted author. I think you'll love his book. Stay with me and take a short pause. I'll be back with more.